good morning and a welcome to worship as we gather at St. Luke's this morning. There are a couple of things to be announced. The main thing is that today after this service will be the annual meeting of the congregation. That'll be held here and will also be on Zoom. So important things have been announced the last couple of weeks as required, but that's today. And next week we begin to be more open in our worship attendance, and that is, it's a reservation system. Someone is of the exact number, but roughly a dozen people in addition to those who are leading worship service. And so it's probable that people won't be able to attend every week. People who are not able to get on the Zoom, of course, can come regularly. But other people who do have the option will. Sometimes you may have to be deferred for a week and do it that way. But it'll be a nice move to be able to see more people present actually in this beautiful space. Our worship begins with the brief order for confession and forgiveness printed in the bulletin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, God of all mercy and consolation, come to the aid of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that attentive to your word we may confess our sins, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen.
Blessed are you coming near, blessed are you coming near to your church in wine and bread, raised from soil, raised from dead. You are holy, you are holiness, you are present. Let the cosmos praise you, Lord. Sing Hosanna in the highest. Sing Hosanna. Sing Hosanna to our God. For holy you are, you are always ever more than we ever understand. You are always at hand. Blessed are you coming near. Blessed are you coming near to your church in wine and bread, raised from the soil, raised from dead. You are holy, you are holiness, you are present. Let the cosmos praise you, Lord, sing Hosanna in the highest. Sing Hosanna. Sing Hosanna to our God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, in peace, let us pray to the Lord. Have mercy for the peace from above, and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy for the peace of the whole world, the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy for this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia. Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. Power and riches, wisdom and strength, and honor and blessing and glory are His. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia. Sing with all the people of God and join in the hymn of all creation. Blessing and honor, glory and might be to God and the Lamb forever. Amen. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia. For the Lamb who was slain has begun His reign. Alleluia. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia,
with you and also with you. Let us pray. Compassionate God, you gather the whole universe into your radiant presence and continually reveal your Son as our Savior. Bring wholeness to all that is broken and speak truth to us in our confusion, that all creation will see and know your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
A reading from Deuteronomy. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You shall heed such a prophet. This is what you requested of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, "If I hear the voice of the Lord my God any more, or ever again see this great fire, I will die. Then the Lord replied to me, they are right in what they have said. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among your own people. I will put my words in the mouth of the prophet, who shall speak to them everything that I command. Anyone who does not heed the words that the prophet shall speak in my name, I myself will hold accountable. But any prophet who speaks in the name of other gods or who presumes to speak in my name a word that I have not commanded the prophet to speak, that prophet shall die. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 111 responsibly. Hallelujah. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright, in the congregation.
Great are the deeds of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in them.
His work is full of majesty and splendor, and his righteousness endures forever.
He makes his marvelous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion.
He gives food to those who fear him. He is ever mindful of his covenant.
He has shown his people the power of his works, in giving them the lands of the nations.
The works of his hands are faithfulness and justice. All his commandments are sure.
They stand fast forever and ever, because they are done in truth and equity.
He sent redemption to his people. He commanded the covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Those who act accordingly have a good understanding. His praise endures forever.
A reading from Corinthians. Now concerning food sacrificed to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Anyone who claims to know something does not yet have the necessary knowledge, but anyone who loves God is known by him. Hence, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that no idol in the world really exists and that there is no God but one. Indeed, even though there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as in fact there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. It is not everyone, however, who has this knowledge. Since some have become so accustomed to idols until now, they still think of the food they eat as food offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not bring us closer to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if others see you, who possess knowledge, eating in the temple of an idol, might they not, since their conscience is weak, be encouraged to the point of eating food sacrificed to idols? So by your knowledge, those weak believers for whom Christ died are destroyed. But when you thus sin against members of your family and wound their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food is a cause of their falling, I will never eat meat, so that I may not cause one of them to fall. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah. For to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter. Jesus and his disciples went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed and kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord.
Grace to you, Lord Christ.
Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We were with friends at a one-woman comedy show years ago in Las Vegas. The performer told about a trip on the interstate with her husband. Her husband was driving, and she wanted to get off the interstate to see something. And he said, "No, if we get off here, we won't be able to get back on the road." And she asked the audience, "Are there really places like that, where if you get off the interstate, you can't get back on, and you have to live there?" The sermon title is "The Ground of Our Hope." But to say something about that, we need to identify what our hope is. One part of it, of course, is that great gift of eternal life. But we have the promise of Christ that has been accomplished. That is in the hands of God. The other part of it, friends, we state in every worship service and many other times, "Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Our hope for this life is that somehow the good and gracious will of God will be done among us, will be done in our world. Our hope is in Jesus, who in today's gospel casts out an unclean spirit, and if we kept reading in Mark in a later chapter, gives his disciples authority to cast out demons. So the question today, I think, is what do these texts say about what part we might have to play? One part, of course, is to keep prayer alive in our minds and hearts. And that has nothing to do with posture or particular words, but it means having a desire that God do something and work through us in our minds and hearts. Not only while we wait and watch, but actually using us, including us. Not just being resigned to God's will. Prayer isn't just a way to calm us and put our minds at ease. It also involves us in a struggle, individually and together as community. To, as one writer put it, to resist the despair and distractions that cause us to live as if we didn't believe, to abandon or avoid the way of Jesus. In other words, it's a struggle to believe that change in our world can really happen and that we can take part of it. You may remember the words of poet Amanda Gorman, who said, "When day comes, we step out of the shade, aflame and unafraid. The new dawn blooms as we free. For there is always light, if only we're brave enough to see it. If only we're brave enough to be it." Looking at these lessons, friends, have you ever thought of a position with a lot of openings, but where submitting an application means automatic rejection? You don't get the job. Well, you only get the position if you don't want it, and if you make your resistance clear. That sounds crazy. Where would there be such a place? But there have been. And the names of people who have had that position are well known to us. Moses, Amos, Jeremiah, and one other who had the position without asking for it, Jesus. And we know the consequences. The position is being God's representative, speaking and acting for God, and that often means facing bitter, sometimes deadly opposition. And yet the ground of our hope is in hearing those who speak for God. In our lessons today, Moses and Paul and Jesus. Facing constant challenges, Moses led the people of Israel from Egypt through the wilderness toward the promised land. Facing the divisions and the conflicts going on within the church at Corinth, Paul calls them back to their identity as followers of Christ. And in the gospel, it was one Sabbath in the synagogue where Jesus does the will of God by casting out an unclean spirit. And yet every place, every generation has its own conflicts. Even Jesus faced great opposition for doing what seems to us a very wonderful thing. We have our own demons, as has every generation. We have our own set of controversies and disagreements. Friends, as humans, we very often get very comfortable with things in our world that ought not comfort us. Well, we aren't faced with the sort of unclean spirit of Jesus' day, but there are certainly influences we might call demonic that are active in our world. We need the Spirit and the Scripture to help us identify them, to recognize them, to reject them, and to find what is the true ground of our hope. These demonic powers have a hold on the whole human race. They're destructive to us, like the pandemic or like cancer. And we need God's wisdom and power to recognize and overcome them. But first we have to see them. First we have to name them. We have to recognize them. And secondly, we have to pray, which simply means knowing that our reliance is on God. I want to quote one commentator. Naming the demons is a way to recognize that they exist. We start with the big one, unbelief, losing one's faith in God and in our fellow human beings. It is the feeling that nothing can be done to solve our problems. And then springing from this one come the others in fearful company. That's the end of that quote. But then this commentator follows a list, a great list. I'm not reading all of it. Things that make us turn away from each other, make us fearful and hostile and fracture human community. The list would include homophobia, racism, sexism, religious and ideological intolerance, domestic violence, poverty, terrorism, greed, and on and on. I would add to that list, friends, tribalism. By tribalism, I mean the mindset that has done away with the concepts of right and wrong, or moral and immoral. You would recognize it if you go to basketball games, where your team players never foul. It is always the other team or the referees that are making the mistakes. And it became especially obvious in our wider culture in the recent election, in the aftermath of that election, and in the attack on the Capitol. Now, there can certainly be discussion, debate, variety of opinions as to responsibility and the appropriate consequences for that, but to ignore or minimize those is what I mean by tribalism, the absence of a moral compass, an attitude that recognizes only what is to the advantage of our tribe, or that responds only by shifting blame. We've heard that over and over. Everybody's doing it. And I think every parent has the answer to that. You've probably used it a good many times. I don't care what the other kids are doing. You probably have said it. What we need today is related to what Paul was dealing with in that strange second lesson today. The discussion is about eating meat that has been offered to idols. Now, you probably never faced that problem. I know, and I never have. But in that day, you see, it was very common to bring animals for sacrifice, to be slaughtered, and then that meat would be eaten in some way. In some cases, it was given to the priests, and other times, it was then just available for people to eat as part of the market. So the idea was there's some sort of sacrificial or holy aspect to all slaughter of animals. And so new Christians who had just learned to turn away from idols, it could pose a problem. So Paul's point is to urge the Corinthians to really care about each other, even in some cases to be willing to sacrifice their own personal freedom for the sake of others. And yeah, it does sound a bit like the current discussion in Buffalo and elsewhere related to the pandemic and to things like masks and spacing and how bars and restaurants should open. So our part in all of this, friends, is to recognize to be able to name the demons and our own role in seeing them and in combating them, in repentance, because we're all involved in it, and with courage. And yet this is not kind of grab your bootstraps and pull harder as if it's all up to us, because the ground of our hope is in God's care, in God's activity, and in asking God to be at work in us to keep turning us ever more toward God's way. In the first lesson, Moses and the Israelites are assured that God will always accompany them, that the word of God will always be with them, his prophet who will speak and guide them, not tell them what they may want to know, but what God wants them to know. That's a gift that continues in our day, and we are part of it. You are part of it. Through the presence of the Holy Spirit and the presence of a Spirit-guided community, we wander our way and sometimes stumble our way toward doing the will of God. And the gospel assures us that the one who casts out the demons is still among us, still here to muzzle the spirits that afflict us. When I was in my teens, I attended a youth training event, featured a daily Bible study, and we always sang a song that you may know. Open my eyes, O Lord, open my eyes into my darkened heart. Let your light arise. Show me myself, O Lord. Show me thyself, O Lord. Show me thy truth, O Lord. Open my eyes. A good prayer then, and still a reminder of our daily need for the gifts available to us in the Gospels. And so we ask for humility to pray today's prayer of the day with an equal seriousness. Bring wholeness to all that is broken, and speak truth to us in our confusion, that all creation may come to see and know your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Guided by Christ, made known to the nations, let us offer our prayers for the Church, the world, and all people in need. For all who share the gospel and proclaim freedom in Christ throughout the world, prophets, teachers, pastors, deacons, and lay leaders, for the Church and its ministries, let us pray. Have mercy on us. For all God's works in creation, plants and animals, water and soil, forests and farms, and for those tasked with protecting our natural resources and all that exists, let us pray. Have mercy on us. For government and leaders, cities and nations, rescue professionals and legal aid attorneys, elected officials and grassroots organizers, for all responsible for the well-being of civil society, let us pray. Have mercy, O God. For those who suffer in mind, body, or spirit, those who are sick and hospitalized, those living with HIV/AIDS, those struggling with mental illness, those facing the current pandemic, those who are hungry or homeless and all in any need, for caregivers, hospice workers, and home health aides, let us pray. Have mercy, O God. For the concerns of this congregation, those who travel, those absent from worship, those celebrating birthdays or anniversaries, for the people of God in this place and for other needs in our community, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
We pray that the Holy Spirit will continue working through our joint call committee collectively and through all who work for the future of our ministry in Buffalo. We pray that the Spirit will move and work through Mark and Sarah as they seek candidates, and that the Spirit will move in the hearts of potential candidates as well. Let us pray. For the covenant God made with us in the waters of baptism, and thanksgiving for the baptized who have died in the Lord, let us pray.
Have mercy, Lord God.
Merciful God, hear the prayers of your people, spoken or silent, for the sake of the one who dwells among us, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
We share that message of peace, peace to all. This is also the time in our worship that we ordinarily receive an offering, but it's a time that we remember the offerings that are being received by this congregation, and we remember the generosity of our members, the ways in which the responding to the needs of the congregation, the community, and the world take place through your generosity. We are no less grateful because we are not able to all be together to receive that, but it is certainly a mark of your faith and faithfulness that that continues, and we thank you. We turn to the offertory song.
Vineyards be fruitful, Lord, filled to the brim of blessing. Near the harvest from the seeds that were sown, that we may be fed with the bread of life. Gather the hopes and the dreams of all, unite them with the prayers we offer now. Grace our table with your presence, and give us a foretaste of the peace to come.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness you have blessed us with these gifts. With them we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the redemption of all that you have made. for the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts, we lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord. Sharing our life, he lived among us to reveal your glory and love, that our darkness should give way to his own brilliant light. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymns. Holy, holy, holy Lord, Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Oh, Hosanna in the highest. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out your Holy Spirit, that by this holy communion we may know the unity we share with all your people in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him, with him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of God to the people of God come to the table. I will administer both the bread and the wine, and please maintain spacing as you come forward to receive. The blood of Christ shed for you. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you.
body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The body of Christ given to you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you now and forever. Send forth my God's blessing, our true faith confessing. The people of God from this wearing take leave. The suffering is ended, for now we extend the fruits of this service in all who believe. Go in peace, serve the Lord.